As technology improves and people continue to live longer, we are faced with the problem of improving quality of life in older age. Tech-savvy retirees are now changing the notion of retirement, seeking a more active lifestyle after they finish work. This has given to a new trend of vertical retirement living. Joining us now to discuss is David Tuffley, Senior Lecturer from Griffith University. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Nick.
Thank you for joining us. Could you explain to the listeners what the idea of vertical retirement living is?
Yeah, it's a trend we're seeing not just in Australia but around the world of retirees, baby boomers, who are fairly tech savvy and used to, you know, an active, stimulating life, not settling for life on the urban fringe in a conventional retirement community, but wanting something a little closer to where the action is, you know, near the centre of town, where they can, you know, enjoy all the benefits of living there. And of course, this means living in high-rise rather than the sort of spread-out developments that we're used to seeing. So, around city, inner city areas, around Australian capital cities, we're seeing more of these, what are called, you know, we're calling them vertical retirement communities, popping up. But they're basically, you know, modern apartment buildings that are set up specifically for older people to live in. So they've got, you know, wider corridors and, you know, wheelchair access, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, it's a trend that governments are pretty keen to encourage because Australian cities are very sort of spread out and low density, and that makes providing infrastructure and building roads and public transport and all of that becomes quite expensive when you've got such a spread out thing. And, you know, so it's seen to be in everybody's interest to go this way with these vertical communities.
So what is bringing about this trend at the moment? Why haven't people been doing this sooner, do we think?
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. Well, for one, I mentioned about governments, and that's governments at all three levels would like to see more of this because it, you know, it will save on infrastructure costs, but it'll also help to keep people out of the health system for longer, and it'll postpone the time that people need to move into an aged care facility, because the sort of technology that is available now and which is being built into these high-rise communities is sort of hospital-grade technology that it's a bit like being an outpatient already, and, you know, you can stay in your own home for longer. But there's also the other factor, which is retirees nowadays, baby boomers, many of them have been using technology for a long time, and, you know, they're pretty tech-savvy, and maybe they're fairly well-heeled too with, you know, good superannuation, and they're used to a certain lifestyle, and they would like to continue with that lifestyle. So I think those are the factors driving it.
So is this style of retirement living perhaps an easier transition for people moving out of their own homes than traditional retirement living, going into villages which seem to be increasingly far out from the city and family, I suppose?
Yeah, it's that's for sure. There's the it's really, I think, being driven by just changes in the demographics of who is retiring now. It's how accustomed to technology you are. Previously, the generation of retirees was a bit, you know, probably a bit wary of all of this current technology, not quite familiar with it, a bit, possibly a bit scared of it. But that's changing, and we're seeing that older demographic is really starting to get into the current technology in a big way. And, you know, they're doing things like using Skype and Facebook, FaceTime, to keep in touch with friends and relatives around the world. Previously, they couldn't do that. They might write letters, but you know, that's a different matter. And we're seeing this trend. It's quite an interesting thing to see the older generation sort of getting amongst that whole technology thing. And they're a lot more restrained with it than, you know, the teenage generation tend to get a little bit too absorbed, possibly, in social media, maybe spend a little too much time on it, but maybe not, you know. But the older people see the benefits, they use it, and then they put it down and do something else. So it's a pretty interesting sort of trend.
I suppose the stipulation of living in these high rises would be being in the city. You wouldn't really find as many of these buildings out in the suburbs. So is that, I guess, a compromise maybe for older people who aren't so keen on being in the middle of the city? How do we find that balance?
Yes, I think, you know, it's not really restricted to inner city areas. It is really possible to do this really anywhere. There is a limiting factor there, though. In areas that don't already have high rise or medium rise, the local residents aren't usually terribly keen to have that sort of development in their area. You know, they fear loss of privacy, congestion, that sort of thing. But with good town planning and good architectural design, these sorts of things can be put pretty much anywhere. And, you know, I was just talking yesterday to somebody on the Sunshine Coast in Queensland. Now, for your listeners, that's just north of Brisbane. That's a retirement holiday area, and there's similar communities going up there that aren't actually in, you know, the centre of things, but they're close to the beach where people might want to live, you know, and it's not in the middle of nowhere, but it's not in the middle of the city either. So it's really just a social trend of governments are encouraging it and giving permission for these things to be built because they want to reduce that sort of urban sprawl trend. They want people to be living closer to where things are, and you know, there's good reasons for doing that. It makes providing public transport, that sort of thing, makes it a lot easier to do. So it's really just finding a bit of a balance between where people want to live when they retire.
So just finally, you sort of touched on it there, but how this style of retirement living benefits the community as a whole, I suppose. How do we sell this as something that's good for everyone?
Yes, it's a really good question. I think it is potentially a benefit to the whole community. For example, one of the models that that's looking good and was being talked about very well in New South Wales was this Dutch model where the retirement community made apartments available to university students who could live there free of charge in return for doing 20 or 30 hours a week work around the place, which is, you know, work, not really work, it's, you know, talking to the residents and maybe doing a bit of shopping for them and just having this intergenerational setup where everybody benefits. And, you know, so instead of just having like a big ugly silo full of old people, which is, I think, the fear that some people have with these developments, you know, stuck somewhere and being socially isolated, if the people living there are integrated into the local community in various ways, and that can be done, you know, with good planning and good architectural design, this can be brought about. So it just it sort of strengthens the community rather than fragments it.
Well, it sounds like exciting times ahead. I don't think I mind the idea of living in the middle of the city in a high-rise when I get older and still being connected to everything. So that's something to look forward to, I suppose. So David Tuffley from Griffith University, thank you so much for joining us this morning to speak about the future of retirement living.
That's my pleasure. Thanks, Nick.